On today's episode of Real Life Pharmacology, I'm going to talk about selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, commonly known as SSRIs. They are an incredibly common class. They are the first line drug, if we're going to use a drug, for treatment management of depression. They're also used in anxiety, PTSD, OCD, and a variety of different mental health concerns. Example medications are citalopram, brand name Celexa, sertraline is Zoloft, paroxetine is Paxil, fluoxetine is Prozac, and fluvoxamine is Luvox, and escitalopram is Lexapro. As far as the side effect profile goes, this can be a little bit challenging. You may find some that cause a little more activation, some that cause more sedation. GI side effects are probably the most common adverse effect. You may see some nausea, you may see some diarrhea, for example. And more specifically, these agents do vary a little bit between one another, but I have seen all of these issues kind of happen with all of them. So it kind of is a lot of patient-specific reactions that you might see. Generally, there's a tendency for sertraline, which is sometimes coined the term squirtraline, may be a little more serotonergic and may cause a little more loose stools or diarrhea. Again, this is probably a dose-dependent effect where as we get to higher doses, you may be more likely to see that happen. Paroxetine may not be quite as well tolerated in the elderly patients. There may be some anticholinergic activity there. So that's one that you might see that we try to avoid in our geriatric patient population. It may be a little bit more sedating as well, and maybe have a higher propensity of causing weight gain, which can be certainly problematic for some patients. Looking at citalopram, brand name Celexa, there are some adverse effects we need to keep in mind here. One is an association with QTC prolongation, and we also have a really common drug interaction as far as patients being on omeprazole, and here we recommend to limit the dose of citalopram to 20 milligrams in those patients, if at all possible. If we're going to go above that 20 milligram threshold on citalopram, which I have seen done, we really, really better have great rationale for doing so. I mentioned SSRIs, generally considered the first line medication to treat depression. In overdose or in a potential suicide or a patient at risk of suicide, tricyclic antidepressants used to be considered first-line medication for depression many, many years ago. But due to the risks associated with TCAs and the potential impact they can have on the heart in an overdose situation, the SSRIs are generally much safer in that situation. Now, the risk with high-dose serotonin-like drugs, SSRIs specifically, we do run the risk of serotonin syndrome. So this is elevated temperature, elevated blood pressure, and symptoms of that nature. Not terribly common, but a unique side effect potentially with SSRIs is they can contribute and or cause SIADH. So this is syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone. And what that can lead to is hyponatremia or low sodium. And this is a little bit more likely in patients who are already prone to hyponatremia. So patients may be on diuretics that are already contributing to a lower sodium or put that patient at risk of that. very, very important patient education point. Remember, you have to remember, SSRIs are not a quick fix for treating depression or anxiety or anything else. These drugs take time to work, and oftentimes patients will run into the adverse effects when initially starting the medication, so they may not feel that great, as well as they may still feel depressed because the drugs take a while to work. So, you know, up to 2 to 4 weeks to really begin their activity and to begin helping patients feel better. So that's a really, really important patient education point. SSRIs in pregnancy, this always has to be a risk-benefit type of assessment, usually involving OBGYN and the provider that's working with that patient there. I have certainly seen them used in pregnancy, but again, if you know it's a mild depression, maybe it has completely resolved, we need to assess that situation and do we want to use that SSRI during pregnancy. Another complaint, concern you may hear from patients is that these drugs can decrease libido and contribute to sexual dysfunction. So this can often be problematic in our, you know, younger, healthier population that we're trying to treat and manage depression with these medications. So it's important to ask that question, I think, when you're working with patients, and or recognize if they may be having concerns with that. I did want to follow up on serotonin syndrome a little bit. Be sure to keep an eye out for other serotonergic drugs. So, for example, we typically don't use SNRIs like Effexor, Cymbalta, with an SSRI. That's kind of a duplication. Generally, we're going to want to get them on one or the other. Now, the SNRIs maybe have a little bit of benefit in that they might have more beneficial effects for pain syndromes such as, you know, neuropathy or fibromyalgia. But in general, we shouldn't be on both an SSRI and an SNRI. A couple other serotonergic drugs that I classically think about is tramadol. Tramadol can have some serotonergic activity. So in using, you know, higher dose tramadol with SSRIs, you may run the increased risk of serotonin syndrome. Triptans are another drug that may have some serotonergic type activity that we need to be a little cautious of and pay attention. And if patients are going to be on both these medications, we definitely need to educate our patients that there is a rare risk for something like serotonin syndrome. Please take a quick break and go support our sponsor. And right after this message, I'm going to cover more on drug interactions with SSRIs. Whether you're a nurse practitioner, nurse, pharmacist, pharmacy student, med student, MedEd101.com has a growing list of great resources to help with board exam preparation, as well as becoming better at medication management and pharmacology. MedEd101.com/store is a fantastic resource you need to check out. Again, MedEd101.com/store, STORE. I did mention the citalopram drug interaction with something like omeprazole. There are definitely other drug interactions. Paroxetine and fluoxetine tend to be more 2D6 active, CYP2D6. An example I just recently came across was a patient that was on tamoxifen. Tamoxifen is actually a prodrug that's metabolized by 2D6. So in the setting of using fluoxetine, for example, the tamoxifen will have less activity because it's a prodrug converted to active metabolites by CYP2D6. By fluoxetine inhibiting CYP2D6, it can reduce concentrations of the active metabolite, therefore leading your breast cancer therapy treatment to have less of an effect. So important to certainly remember drug interactions. One other one, fluvoxamine or Luvox. This medication is very rarely used. And the reason it's rarely used is it has a ton of drug interactions via CYP3A4. So things like warfarin, things like seizure medications like phenytoin, Luvox or fluvoxamine can have a lot of drug interactions, potentially raising those concentrations by CYP3A4 inhibition. So in general, Luvox is usually avoided unless there's a really, really good clinical reason to use it. Be sure to go check out our free gift at reallifepharmacology.com. This wraps up today's episode on SSRIs. Feel free to reach out at the website, again, reallifepharmacology.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.